You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 30th. I'm your host, Lucas Han. You can find me on Twitter at LucasJHan. You can read my work at ClipStation.com, as well as follow along on Twitter there at ClipsNationSBN. So today is weird. This is a weird episode. If you don't follow, you know, NBA news closely outside of this podcast, or maybe you listen to the podcast and watch the Clippers broadcasts, or maybe you read the Clips Nation blog but you haven't checked yet, probably you're not on Twitter if you don't know what's going on. But if you don't know what's going on, maybe brace yourself, because this is the news that we got yesterday was as shocking, really, as it is important for the trajectory of this team. And it's that the Clippers have traded Blake Griffin. The Clippers, it broke from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN Monday afternoon. The Clippers traded Blake Griffin to the Detroit Pistons. Along with Blake Griffin, they sent out Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed, just as a little bit of salary filler. And they received in exchange Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, Avery Bradley, Detroit's 2018 first-round draft pick protected for the top four slots, and Detroit's 2019 second-round draft pick. So pretty much two starting caliber players in Bradley and Harris, some salary filler, Boban, and a first-round pick and a second-round pick for Blake Griffin. And Blake Griffin is no longer a Los Angeles Clipper. Now, this is a lot to take in. And, of course, we're going to talk about this for a long, long time. But before I even get into the Clippers side of this trade, I feel like this podcast is a little better organized when we look first at the Pistons side of the trade. And there's no better way to do that than to hear from Matt from Locked On Pistons. So I'm going to play a clip of Matt discussing this deal. And then after that, we'll talk a little bit more about what it means from the Clippers' perspective, what it could mean in terms of upcoming deals, and how the team deals with something like this, playing a game tonight against the Portland Trailblazers on national TV in a game that has big playoff seeding implications. So let's toss it to Matt, and then when we get back from that, we'll talk a little bit more about everything else.
The Pistons got Blake Griffin in a big deal on Monday afternoon. Blake's been one of those villains, one of those guys you have loved to hate over the past several years on the other side of the court. But the good news is that's basically Pistons DNA. Now, it's not exactly the same way that Griffin's built his reputation that the Pistons had over the past several decades with their toughness that has been personified over the years, but we will see how it goes. And certainly it's a lot of money for a long time for a guy with a big injury risk, but we've seen Detroit teams in the past, they've needed to find different ways to get top talent. They haven't really made things happen in free agency, and Stan Van Gundy has not made it happen through the draft in his 4 years so far with the Pistons as well. But hey, the move, it's something interesting, and that's more than we can say about what this team has done over the past decade. It's a franchise that's been lost in the woods since the going-to-work era. Really not much good to say about this team, really not much to say about this team at all. As far as the deal, they didn't give up Luke Kennard, which would have been pretty much a disaster. They didn't give up Stanley Johnson while his value is low and the team could maybe be opportunistic and buy low for him in his third year. So there's some things to like about it. They got rid of the Boban's contract, which is a good thing as well. They did give up that first-round pick, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot in this draft to love past the top seven or eight players. And hopefully the Pistons pick doesn't end up in the top seven or eight. Right now, I've advocated on this podcast about trading Avery Bradley a bunch in the past couple weeks, so you know where I stand there. As far as Tobias Harris, certainly we're not crazy about losing him in Pistons Nation. He was a great guy, an easy guy to root for the fans. But all season, we've kind of waited for a little bit more from him. He got better going into last year and kind of carried this last year's team through a horrible season and has been the most reliable scorer this season as well. But we've talked a lot about some of those quiet 20-point games that we've Kawhi's been waiting for a little bit more from him. He can't seem to get to the free throw line in late in games and can't really be a good scorer in the fourth quarter. We need someone who can get a bucket a little bit easier than that. Well, Blake Griffin is here, and he's that guy. He's a wide body. He's a crafty scorer. I remember when the Pistons beat the Clippers this year, Griffin at times can kind of just put his butt right into Anthony Tolliver, take him down to the lane, and did a lot of work on one of the top defenders in the league, although Tolliver's not as strong as Blake Griffin, and that was going to be a matchup problem. But those are some of the matchup problems that the Pistons will look to exploit when they have Blake Griffin on their side, and it's something they didn't have before. Another interesting thing with Griffin is, what does this do to Andre Drummond's spot in the high post of the offense? We saw that Andre's had good court vision there, but also saw that he was limited when some of the things broke down initially when that high post offensive set. No way was Andre going to be knocking down anything outside of 8 feet, but he also couldn't drive to the hole when he tried to go from the three-point line as well. Seems like Blake Griffin would be good for that spot in the post, but then what do you do with Andre? But I think some of those thoughts of this guy's in the high post, this guy's in the low post, kind of oversimplifies things a little bit. There are a lot of possessions in an NBA season, and why can't guys alternate between spots in the post along the way? And along those lines, Andre, with his, you know, maybe get him back a little bit towards the baseline, not in a post-up position, but kind of out of the way a little bit at times, stay out of the way of Blake's real estate in the post, maybe set some screens on the perimeter, and also kind of take advantage of maybe some of the defense sagging towards Blake, look for lobs as well. And then a lot of this Pistons franchise hinges on Reggie Jackson getting back healthy, and maybe we'll see if Blake and Reggie can kind of duplicate some of the success they had in Lob City with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin there. But some other scattered thoughts. This is probably an indication that Stan Van Gundy is back for next season to coach out the fifth and final year of his contract, and also in the front office as well. Whatever happens the rest of the way with this season, you can make the argument that this move and this new team is going to take more than the 34 games left this season to be analyzed. But my bottom line is this. Before the trade, there was nothing really to like about this Pistons team this season, and really not much to look forward to next year too. Well, now it will be interesting, which is more than we could say on Monday morning. Since the trade, which was only a couple hours ago now, I've heard from about 20 different people on texts, and I promise you that these are not people who are thinking about the Pistons over the weekend. I threw out a query on Twitter about what do you think, and got all sorts of responses, most of them negative, but at least that there were some responses there. Plus, hey, the Pistons are in the news for the first time in a long time, and that's a good thing for a change. Will it be a good thing a few years from now? I'm certainly skeptical about it, but it might be fun to find out.
There you have it. So that's the Pistons perspective. That's Matt from Locked On Pistons. And I think it's really interesting. I think it's a good way to start the conversation, because what I think a lot of people look at when they look at this trade is, okay, the Clippers got a nice, you know, young power forward, definitely a downgrade from Blake Griffin. They got, you know, another decent piece on an expiring deal. They got some salary filler. They got a pick. This is not some godfather contract offer that you expect a superstar to be traded for. And I think that there's a little bit merit to that, because I think it really indicates that, you know, the Pistons didn't call the Clippers with this deal, and the Clippers were so blown away that they just had to trade Blake even though they wanted to keep him. This means the Clippers were looking into trading Blake, which is something that has not been discussed or really talked about outside of one really kind of strange rumor regarding the Timberwolves and Karl Anthony Towns a couple weeks ago. We haven't really had much of an indication that the Clippers were seriously committed to trading Blake Griffin. And I think that the return value comes as a little bit of a shock, because when you're giving away something as good as a Blake Griffin, and Blake Griffin is legitimately one of the best players in the NBA, an NBA superstar, an all-NBA caliber player, he's all of these things. And it's just a little shocking to not be getting back something major, major, major for him. And Tobias Harris is a nice piece. I'm excited to have Tobias Harris on the Clippers. But Blake Griffin's a guy who's averaging 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5.5 assists. He's added a three-point shot to his game. He's taking 6 threes a game and making them at a respectable rate, which is a really high volume. And he's just a guy who does everything, and he's done everything for a lot of years. But there are other factors. You know, the things that I think we hear Matt talking about in his bit are the contract and the injuries, and those are definitely the two things I think that suppress Blake Griffin's trade value. Blake missed 47 games two seasons ago. He missed 21 games last season. He's missed 15 games already this season. He's gotten hurt in the playoffs in like each of the last 4 years. I mean, like, always getting hurt near the end of the season or in the playoffs. And he's got this massive, massive contract that he just signed with Clippers last summer. 5 years, $173 million, with a 15% trade kicker. That's going to mean that he's going to get a lot of extra money from Detroit in the coming years, even more so than he would have gotten had he stayed with the Clippers. And it starts to make a little bit of sense why the value isn't, you know, where you'd expect it to be in a vacuum for Blake Griffin. If you were trading players on the playground for one pickup game tonight, Blake Griffin would fetch you a lot more than Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley and Boban. But when you consider, you know, those kind of long-term factors, it makes a little bit of sense. I think it also makes a little bit of sense when you consider that Blake is 28, Tobias Harris is 25, so you gain a few years there. But it's shocking. And I think it shows a new direction for this Clippers team, because we've talked a lot in the past about this five-year window with Blake Griffin and how you have Gallinari for, you know, probably the first 2 years of that, then you maybe trade him as an expiring deal, try to do something different for the last 3 years. But, you know, whether the Clippers are going to keep DeAndre Jordan or not, all of these things we've looked at through the lens of the framework of a five-year Blake Griffin window. And that window is gone now. It's no longer a consideration. There is no five-year Blake Griffin window. It's it. It's over. Blake Griffin is gone. And so, you know, did the Clippers win or lose the trade? I think it's really difficult to say. I think they're probably a worse basketball team tomorrow than they were yesterday. I think that in 4 years, when the Detroit Pistons are paying a 31-year-old Blake Griffin upwards of $40 million, we'll probably say that we're happy that the Clippers aren't the ones doing that. But it's also possible that if Blake Griffin is relatively healthy over the next several seasons and has several good years, and things don't quite work out with Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris, and the Clippers don't pick someone very good with that draft pick, that you kind of end up trading Blake Griffin for not very much at all, and Blake Griffin continues to be an all-star, all-NBA caliber player. It's really hard to determine who won or lost this trade based on what we know right now. But I do think that we can tell a few things about this team and about the direction that this team is going to be taking in the next 10 days as we get towards the NBA trade deadline. That's probably the most value that we can pull out of a conversation right now. And then hopefully moving forward in the next months and years, we'll gain some perspective on this trade and be able to really determine, did the Clippers win? Did the Clippers lose? What were the outcomes? But here's what I can figure for the Clippers going forward through the next 10 days towards this trade deadline. The first thing that I think is pretty apparent is that Tobias Harris is now a central core piece for this franchise. The first round pick is a nice tool, but Harris is a 25-year-old star player, very good starting power forward, averages 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. He shoots 41% from deep. He's consistently grown year to year in the league. He has a good value contract. He makes a little under $15 million next season. During his career, he's played a little bit at both forward spots. As he's grown, not grown physically, but grown into his game, he has played more as a power forward. I think he is more of a power forward than a small forward, which, again, Danilo Gallinari is another guy who's more of a power forward than a small forward. But Tobias is definitely more of a hybrid combo forward than Blake Griffin is, which makes the fit maybe a little better than with Blake Griffin and Gallinari, even though it's a talent downgrade. Now, I think also that the two most, you know, the two kind of prominent starting opening night guards for the Clippers, Milos Teodosic and Patrick Beverley, these guys are probably going to stay put. With Beverley being injured, Teodosic having had, you know, kind of his ups and downs so far this season and being injured, I don't think either of them has a ton of value in the trade market right now at the deadline. And I think that because of their contracts, with Beverly making $5 million next season and Tay Dosich making $6.3 million next season, the Clippers have a chance to go into next season with two starting guards who make a combined $11.3 million, which is an insane asset for team building. Whatever they end up doing this summer, having your starting guard positions locked down at that price is like an unbelievable luxury. And I also don't think that Danilo Gallinari is likely to move at this deadline, although it certainly seems as though the Clippers, having done a 180 on Blake Griffin in the last 6 months, from signing him to that five-year contract to now deciding to move on from him and get younger, seems like Gallinari is another guy who's in that mold. But because of how injured he's been this season and that big three-year $65 million contract, I just don't see him having trade value right now. I think that he's a guy who they might try to look at moving this summer when teams have cap space, and maybe he's played 30 games if he can come back, hopefully tonight against the Trailblazers. Maybe he plays 30 games and plays well, and you're able to move him with just 2 years left on that deal. I also think that we see the Clippers really not wanting to part with their young players or with draft picks. So guys like Juwan Evans and Darius Thornwell, Tyrone Wallace, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, this kind of 23 and under crew for the Clippers. Jerry West likes these guys. He handpicked most of them. And I just don't think that they're looking at moving any of these prospects right now. They may package them long-term or use them to get a win-now piece that Jerry West likes in a year or two. But in this moment, I don't see them moving any of these guys or giving up any of their picks at this deadline. They might do something a little bit more on draft day in terms of using a pick to get a player that they like. But right now, I think they're hanging on to the young guys. And I think Jerry West likes this draft. The Clippers have their own pick this season. They went out and got the Pistons pick in this trade. I do think if they move DeAndre Jordan, that deal will probably return a first-round pick to them, possibly the Brooklyn pick from the Cleveland Cavaliers, possibly a pick from somewhere else. If they move Lou Williams, that'll probably return them a first-round pick. Again, Cleveland's a possibility. Philadelphia may be a possibility there. And Avery Bradley, who is new to the Clippers on his expiring contract, could be a candidate as well to be flipped for a first-round pick. So, you know, if the Clippers don't want to trade him or don't want to pay him in free agency this summer, some other team who needs a rotational piece going into the playoffs could really value him and be willing to give a late first-round pick to the Clippers. So the Clippers are in a position to get maybe up to even four or five first-round picks in this year's draft, which will give Jerry West a lot of options and potentially give him some money to work with in free agency this summer. So the entire trajectory of this team has changed. Everything is different than it was 24 hours ago. We are no longer looking at Blake Griffin and thinking about how to shape a core around him. You know, and in the past, it was very minor. So you had the core in place, and it was about, okay, we have Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. How do we shift the rotational pieces around this core? What we were kind of seeing in the last 6 months was the Clippers have Blake Griffin. What's the core that they want to build around him? Do they want to sign Gallinari? Obviously, they went and did that. Do they want to keep DeAndre Jordan? Do they want to trade DeAndre Jordan? Those sorts of questions. But now it's really, what is the core going to be? Who are you going to build around? Because there is no more Blake Griffin centerpiece. I think that Tobias is probably a big core piece for this team, just like I think Patrick Beverley is a core piece for this team. Those are probably the two most important guys on the Clippers going forward, but neither of them has the same gravity as the face of a franchise that Blake Griffin does. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what this team does going forward. So once we establish that this is where the Clippers are now, they have moved Blake Griffin. They're looking towards keeping their young guys together, keeping some of these core pieces together, whether it's because players are, you know, relatively young and very good, like Tobias Harris, or because they're solid veterans on really, really hard-to-beat contracts like Milos Teodosic and Patrick Beverley. What happens with the other guys is the big next question. And this is where we get into a little of the fun, tantalizing drama of the NBA trade deadline, something that is quite possibly relatively horrific for a lot of Clippers fans who just lost a huge fan favorite in Blake Griffin and are potentially going to lose the longest tenured Clipper on the team in DeAndre Jordan, and a guy who's been at an all-star level this season in Lou Williams. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who are going to be very, very unhappy. I think it's highly likely that these guys are moved. I said before the Blake Griffin thing that I thought it was more likely that DeAndre Jordan would be moved, that there's a chance Lou Williams would be moved, but that I thought the Clippers would try to get him at a reasonable extension. Now that Blake Griffin has been moved, I think the Clippers probably move Lou Williams as well. Some people are saying that the Blake Griffin deal has no bearing on whether the Clippers move DeAndre Jordan or Lou Williams or both or neither. But, you know, I think it's a clear indicator of the direction the team is going. And maybe in league circles, front offices already knew this because they were being engaged in these phone calls, and it doesn't make much of a difference in terms of trade value for these guys. But I have to imagine from our perspective, knowing what we know now, knowing that the Clippers are gearing towards this longer-term view, it just seems like a no-brainer that DeAndre and Lou Williams would be moved. Now, I don't think the Clippers are going to make a bad deal just for the sake of making a deal. I think that Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan are both good players, and if the Clippers feel like they aren't getting fair value, they are more than willing to try to extend Lou Williams or maybe, you know, up their extension offer to DeAndre Jordan, which their offers have been really underwhelming so far. Maybe talk to these guys in free agency this summer, maybe let them go for nothing. But I don't think the Clippers are going to do, you know, I would hope that the Clippers would not do something like take back Tristan Thompson's contract or take back Evan Turner's contract, which could really hamstring this team's cap sheet for years to come in exchange for a pick that's going to be, you know, in the middle of the first round. So I do think that they will end up moving them, though, because I think they'll find deals that make them happy. And the question becomes where, and beyond that, who else gets moved? Because I think that, as I said, Avery Bradley, who the team just brought in, I think is a very, very strong candidate to be flipped again. I think that the team would really like to move Wesley Johnson's contract, which is something that we've talked about in the past. I think that they would also like to move that new contract that they got in Boban. So those are five guys I think really to watch in the next 10 days. DeAndre and Lou, Avery Bradley, Boban, and Wesley Johnson. Now, DeAndre is the trickiest one to move because the salary is so big, you have to get pieces back from other teams. I think that the Clippers can try to pull off a deal involving DeAndre that gets them a really solid wing player, maybe a shooting guard, which, you know, probably a guy who would come in and start at shooting guard. So you look, maybe you can figure something out with the Portland Trailblazers to get CJ McCollum. The trade value isn't there in a DeAndre CJ trade for it to make sense for Portland, but Neil Olshey, who used to run the Clippers, runs the Portland Trailblazers. We know that he likes DeAndre Jordan. They were together in Los Angeles several years ago. Possibly a place where DeAndre would be willing to stay long term. Portland's a great atmosphere, great culture around that, you know, that fan base and that city. Neil Olshey, a guy who is not hesitant to pay big money to sign his players, so DeAndre Jordan would probably be able to get a big contract there, play with Damian Lillard for a good amount of time. It could be something that could make a lot of sense. You look at Milwaukee, a team that's looking for a center to try to piece together this big thing that they've got going on. DeAndre would get a chance to play with Eric Bledsoe again, play with Giannis, play on, you know, a team that should be very good going forward for the next several years. The Clippers could get a guy back, hopefully like Chris Middleton, who has been really solid and can play both wing positions. Middleton this season is averaging 20 points a game, 47% from the field, 35% from deep, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He's been really, really good for Milwaukee. I almost don't even know if he's gettable for DeAndre Jordan as well, but I think those are the kinds of names, you know, that maybe you're looking at if you look to trade DeAndre Jordan and you don't look towards trading him for, you know, a lesser package. I mean, you could probably also figure out a deal with Milwaukee that doesn't include Chris Middleton if you work in, you know, John Henson and, you know, maybe John Henson or Tony Snell. Get a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, who's very good, makes a lot less money. But you know, Chris Middleton would be a really, really nice return piece for DeAndre Jordan. Then you look at Lou Williams, you wonder what you can get for Lou Williams and a guy like Avery Bradley, who probably has less trade value than Lou Williams right now just because of how their seasons are going, with both of them being on expiring contracts. But both of those are guys who should probably be able to fetch you first-round picks from playoff teams. I think something that I've talked about with Mike Jaglin from Clipcast a lot is the Philadelphia 76ers are a team that could use a little bit of guard help and could potentially take Lou Williams and give you back one of their expiring contracts. They have, you know, several totally movable contracts, and the Clippers would be able to get a decent pick from Philadelphia because Philadelphia has lots of different draft assets going forward. Then maybe Avery Bradley is a guy you could trade to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Channing Frye's expiring contract and Cleveland's pick this year. So you're not going to get the Brooklyn Nets pick unless you send DeAndre Jordan there. But maybe Cleveland's own pick, which would be somewhere in the mid to late 20s, is a pick that you might be able to get. And Cleveland could certainly use a guy like Avery Bradley. They're not using Channing Frye at all right now, and Cleveland has a lot of stuff that they're going to be trying to do in at the trade deadline this season. So that's something that could work out as well. And then if there's any deal where there's pieces floating around and the Clippers can figure out a way to include Boban Marjanovic or Wesley Johnson, I think it's something they absolutely have to try to do. Wesley Johnson has a player option for $6.1 million next season that he's going to opt into. It, you know, he just is. He's not going to get that money on the open market. And even though he's been kind of solid lately, we've seen him be hugely inconsistent over this season and his years with the Clippers and his career, really. And I just don't think he's a guy at 30 years old that it makes a lot of sense to have money committed to next season, with the Clippers having a chance to open up some serious cap space next summer, kind of revamp their roster. It just isn't a huge, you know, it's something I think the Clippers would rather not have than have. Even with Wesley's contributions, you'd rather, if you can turn his contributions right now into not having to pay him next year, then I think that that's a win for the team. And then Boban is really not a rotation piece. You know, Detroit kind of went out and overpaid him after he was decent as a backup, you know, part-time backup for the Spurs. So Detroit went out and gave him a 3-year, $21 million deal. The Spurs let him go in restricted free agency, and he just hasn't played a whole ton for Detroit. Last season, he played 35 games, 8 minutes a game. This season, he's only played in 19 of their games, 9 minutes a game, so they're using him less than half their games. Like, when they need a big guy or when someone's hurt, they use him as a backup center. And his stats are, I mean, in 9 minutes a game, he's averaging 6 points and 3 rebounds, but there's a reason he never played a lot with the Spurs, and a reason why he hasn't been able to get, you know, get in the rotation for the Pistons. And the Pistons, especially, you know, not being especially, now it's not like they have some amazing backup center that's playing over him. So yeah, it's, you know, he's not a guy that I see really fitting in to the Clippers rotation. They have Montrezl Harrell, who's a much better backup center, that, you know, is a guy that the team really likes. And with Boban being owed $7 million this season and $7 million next season, if there's any way in a deal where you can move his money as well, again, it's something that I think that you would absolutely love to do from the Clippers' perspective. One deal that I talked about on Twitter with a Oklahoma City Thunder blogger named Moke Hamilton is he had written a piece about, with Andre Roberson going down for the Oklahoma City Thunder, that a guy they should target is Wesley Johnson, because Wesley Johnson is someone who has been solid this season defensively. You know, he's not a good three-point shooter, but Andre Roberson is not a good three-point shooter either. And Wesley Johnson brings some things to the table that they need, the Oklahoma City Thunder, that is, that they need desperately on the defensive end, just in terms of length, blocking shots, getting steals. Now, obviously, you know, we all know that Wesley Johnson is no Andre Roberson on the defensive end. He really doesn't stay in front of guys in individual defense, whereas Roberson is much more of a stopper. But he is a guy who could go in and be a valuable team defender, just be another long athletic piece for Oklahoma City. I do think that he has some rotational value for a playoff team, although his, you know, he's drastically inconsistent, but I think there's a, you know, there's a potential for him to actually go in and help Oklahoma City, and the Clippers would love to get out of that contract. The problem is Oklahoma City doesn't really have any contracts that any expiring contracts that would work to help out the Clippers in this case. So what they have is Alex Abrines, who makes $5.5 million next season. Wesley Johnson makes 6.15, so you save, you know, around $700,000 next season in that deal. You get younger. Abrines is a shooter, but he's not as good of a defender as Wesley, so it's a downgrade to save $700,000. Not really, you know, that intriguing of a deal. What I think is maybe a little more intriguing is if you do another trade with Oklahoma City. You do that Wesley for Abrines deal, but then you also trade Boban for Kyle Singler. Kyle Singler makes a little bit under $5 million next season. Boban makes $7 million. So, you know, Kyle Singler is another guy who's not really a rotation piece at all, but Singler, you know, that saves you $2 million from Boban. So if you aren't able to find a deal where you can trade Wesley Johnson or Boban without taking any salary back next season, you could potentially trade them for two guys that save you around $2.75 million next season by having two slightly worse or slightly smaller bad contracts, also slightly worse, I suppose. And then Oklahoma City probably sends a second-round pick in that deal as well. But I think that's a deal that makes sense for the Clippers. It's not the most exciting thing. And if there's a way to work Wesley or Boban into one of these other packages, it's definitely something that you want to do. But if nothing ends up happening and you get down to the trade deadline and Abrines, Singler, and Oklahoma City's 2019 second-round pick are on the table for Boban and Wesley, I think it's a deal you probably pull the trigger on. Abrines also, you know, it's worth noting, is younger. He's 24. He's a good three-point shooter, 38%. He's playing in Oklahoma City's rotation right now, but I'm not sure if he's a super high rotation caliber player. But he's an, you know, a guy who maybe has some upside. He's a little bit younger. He can shoot. And it saves you a little under $3 million this summer to do that trade, which could matter when it comes to trying to sign free agents. $3 million can make a lot of difference when it comes to creating cap room to chase after guys. So that's another thing to consider. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. We're a little bit over 30 minutes, but that's fine because this is a monumental episode. A lot of big things happening, obviously, with Blake Griffin being traded. I mean, it's almost surreal even. Can't even comprehend the fact that the Clippers actually traded Blake Griffin after 9 years, over 500 games, over 10,000 points. And really, you know, it's funny, when DeAndre Jordan moved into first place all times for career games played as a Clipper, Blake Griffin, I think, is in sixth. And I looked at the list and I said, oh, well, Blake is going to pass Corey Maggette for fifth later this season. And by the end of this contract, he'll be in first place. And, you know, if the Clippers move DeAndre Jordan, that is, and Blake Griffin plays out his contract, Blake Griffin would have been in first place all time career games played as a Clipper. And he never even got, you know, got the like 12 games that he needed to get past Corey. He's played his last game as a Clipper. It's over. And it's just, you know, a lot to take in because he's a guy who's such a big part of the team, such a big part of the franchise for so long, such a fixture before Chris Paul was here, after Chris Paul left. So I think it's very, very interesting. It's a lot for Clippers fans to take in, I know. And I think it makes for a very interesting game tonight against the Portland Trailblazers because you go into this game and how can you possibly be thinking about this game? With Blake Griffin traded, new guys maybe playing tonight, maybe not, potentially three new faces in the starting lineup. Avery Bradley could be starting at shooting guard. Danilo Gallinari could come back from injury and start at small forward. He's listed as questionable for this game. Tobias Harris almost certainly becomes a starting power forward if the guys from the trade play tonight, which isn't a given. They may not be able to get everything sorted out in order to have them ready for tonight's game. But then for the guys who are in the locker room, you've got a lot of young guys who are going to be rattled by everything being shaken up. All of the veterans are thinking about their own futures. Lou Williams, DeAndre Jordan are guys who certainly are going to be thinking about, you know, what's going to happen to me in the next 10 days. And I'm sure it's going to affect DeAndre Jordan that Blake Griffin, who's one of his best friends, has been traded. So really, really hard to focus. And it's a game that matters. You know, the Clippers aren't necessarily in a position where they've given up on the playoffs. They traded Blake Griffin, yes, but they got two starters back, a downgrade at power forward, but an upgrade over what they had at shooting guard. Avery Bradley having a worse year than Austin Rivers, but Austin Rivers is out injured, and Avery Bradley certainly an upgrade over two-way contract G League player Tyrone Wallace, even though Tyrone's been magnificent. So, you know, these guys are going to be rattled. There's a lot of changes going on. And the Clippers aren't necessarily giving up on making the playoffs. They're half a game behind the Denver Nuggets. They're two games behind the Portland Trailblazers. They're playing the Portland Trailblazers in this game. If the Clippers hadn't made the Blake Griffin trade, this would be a big, big game for Western Conference playoff seeding. This would be the huge narrative going into this game, how important it could end up being for who's going to get the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th spots in this tight Western Conference playoff race. And it's hard to even recognize the fact that it's still important in that respect, because we just don't know what's going on with the Clippers right now. We don't know how this team's going to come together, and we don't know who is going to end up being on this team next week. Forget about in the playoffs or in the years to come, and it all seems a lot more important than just one game. That being said, if the Clippers do manage to get good production out of guys like Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris, or if they make more trades but are able to get players in to put together a complete team for the rest of the season, this game is a game that could very well end up mattering a lot come the end of the year. So, you know, it's a lot to wrap your head around. It's a lot to be focused on for everyone in the locker room, from Doc Rivers, who you have to remember is no longer making these calls about trading Blake Griffin. So it matters, you know, it's something that is being done to him as opposed to being done by him. All of the other guys in the locker room who know that they could be shipped out in any of the coming days. It's a lot to handle. It's a lot, you know, it's hard to focus on. I think it's going to be difficult for the fans to focus on. It's going to be a very, very strange atmosphere. It's hard to see the Clippers coming out with the win, which is unfortunate because it's a difficult, you know, it's an important game against a difficult opponent. But we'll talk about that game in tomorrow's episode after it's happened, as well as any new developments regarding the Blake Griffin trade, maybe what prompted the Clippers to decide to try to move him, if there's anything specific just beyond his injury history and big contract, as well as any future trade talks the Clippers may be in involving guys like DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams in the 10 days between now and the deadline. But for now, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan. You can email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.